joining today's podcast. Today we continue our series entitled Focus on the Family. For the past 2 weeks, we focused on self-care because we cannot pour into others if we have not been poured into. Amongst other things, the purpose of this series is to help us better understand our place in the family of God. Our text comes from John, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now in the humblest manner that we know how, asking that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that we don't even have room enough to receive through your word on today. Asking God that you will decrease me and increase you, that your word will not return void, and that we will not leave the same way we entered this podcast. In your precious and holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The term Stockholm Syndrome first occurred in 1973 at an attempted bank robbery in Stockholm, Sweden. A man tried to rob a bank and the police caught him inside. He took 3 female hostages and 1 male hostage and held them for 131 hours. That's right, 131 hours. During which time he terrorized them. He fired his Russian automatic assault weapon at them. He threatened to kill them on numerous occasions, put nooses around their necks and threatened to hang them, but he didn't harm any of them. When he finally surrendered, something very unusual happened. It was expected that the hostages would be agnostic toward the hostage taker, but instead, they said they feared the police more than the hostage taker. They also said they didn't hate the hostage taker. They refused to testify against him. Can you believe it? One of the ladies even became engaged to the hostage taker. The FBI analyzed thousands of hostage situations since that time. Stockholm Syndrome happens very frequently. Psychologists say hostage situations with a high level of life-threatening stress and positive human interaction often trigger people's ego defensive mechanisms. In other words, there is denial of what is happening and regression to a different emotional state. The hostage will eventually begin to transfer their hatred by convincing themselves, this guy doesn't really want to hurt me. At that time, the hostage begins to hate the police. Something else begins to happen. A love relationship begins to take place. And this love relationship is like what happens between a young child and a loving father. A father protects a child from the terrifying world and provides all their needs. This love relationship occurs both ways. Satan holds people in bondage to their sin so long that they often hate anyone who tries to set them free. But whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Is there anybody out there glad that you've been set free? I'm so glad I got free. I remember dating a young man while I was in high school and in my first years of college. He was an upperclassman, tall, dark, and handsome, but he didn't want to hear anything about Christianity. He refused to attend church services or my God, but I really liked him. My mom tried to convince me that any man that doesn't love my God doesn't love me, and it is a formula for disaster. What did I do? I got mad at my mom, the one who was trying to set me free. Needless to say, time reveals all things, and my mom was right. In our scripture today, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a prominent Jewish leader. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-revealing acts you do if God weren't with you. Jesus affirmed him. Jesus said to him, unless a person be born again, it is impossible to enter God's kingdom. How can anyone, Nicodemus said, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. Jesus said, you're not listening. Let me say it again. How many times does Jesus have to say that to us? You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to the Father, all of his mighty power is baptized into a new life. It's not possible to even see God's kingdom. At that point, Jesus used the following illustration. Jesus said, when you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born again apart from this world. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born again by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Nicodemus asked, what do you mean by this? How does that happen? Jesus said, you're a respected teacher of Israel and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. Have you ever heard say, listen, Linda, I'm speaking truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here nor hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? No one has ever gone up into the presence of the Father except the one who came down from that presence, the Son. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, an eternal life. A deeper analysis shows that Nicodemus was afraid or ashamed to be seen with Christ. Therefore, he came in the night. When Jesus is not popular, there are many just like Nicodemus. But though he came by night, Jesus welcomed him. And though he came by night after that encounter with the Son of God, Nicodemus was welcomed into the family of God. He did not talk with Christ about state affairs, though he was a ruler, but about the concerns of his own soul and his salvation. If you get an opportunity to talk with Jesus, will you be worried about the world or will you be worried about your soul? Jesus spoke of the necessity of regeneration by saying, you must be born again. Birth is the beginning of life. To be born again is to begin to live anew. We must have a new nature, new principles, new affections, new aims. According to David in Psalm 51, by our first birth, we were corrupt, shaped in sin and iniquity. We must be made new creatures. We must be entirely different from what we were before. As that which begins to be at any time is not and cannot be the same with that which was before. This new birth is from heaven because heaven is our ultimate destination. It is a great change made in the heart of a sinner by the power of the Holy Ghost. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. It means that something is done in us and for us which we cannot do for ourselves. Nicodemus originally misunderstood as if there had been no other way of regenerating an immortal soul, but he acknowledged his ignorance. Some of us need to acknowledge our ignorance. We think we know everything when God knows all, and our ignorance is blocking our adoption into the royal family. He showed a desire to be better informed. Jesus also explains how Nicodemus can become a child of our Heavenly Father by no wisdom or power of our own, but by the power of God's Spirit. We are shaped in iniquity, what makes it necessary that our nature be changed. Somebody say, change me, Lord. I ask right now, Lord, that you changed us, Lord. The most famous scripture in the Bible came from Jesus explaining the family of God to Nicodemus. We are introduced to Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 1. Jesus begins to explain the family of God in chapter 3, verse 3. At the end of the explanation, and by the time we get to John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." This is the explanation on why joining the family of God is essential, what the family of God is all about, and how to join the family of God. Just as Nicodemus had questions, I have three questions that will help us point to the truth of Scripture regarding the family of God. Question number one, what is the family of God? The first time Nicodemus is mentioned, he's identified as a Pharisee who comes to Jesus at night. John places this meeting shortly after the cleansing of the temple and links it to the signs which Jesus performed in Jerusalem during the Passover feast. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing and God were not with him. John 3:2 then follows a conversation with Nicodemus about the meaning of being born again. Nicodemus explores the notion of being literally born again from a mother's womb, but Jesus was not speaking of literal rebirth. After conversing about a mother and a father, Nicodemus says, "How can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus expresses surprise, perhaps ironically, that a teacher of Israel does not understand the concept of spiritual rebirth. As we fast forward in John chapter 7, Nicodemus advises his colleagues among the chief priests of the Pharisees to hear and investigate before making a judgment concerning Jesus. The final mention of Nicodemus in Scripture is in John 19 when Jesus is buried. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, but about 100 Roman pounds. The quantity of the balm is extraordinary and exceeds all normal proportions. Nicodemus gave Jesus a royal burial. To be part of the family of God means having a purpose in this life that has eternal significance. As part of God's family, we are given spiritual gifts that we can use to grow and strengthen the family, which is the body of Christ. As a members of the family, we have the duty and privilege to use our gifts and then extend the invitation to others to believe in Christ and become family with us. So what happened between chapter 3 and chapter 19? Nicodemus was born of the water and the Spirit and thus became a member of God's family. Question number 2. But why is joining the family of God essential? To be part of the family of God is essential because it means God is your father. If God is not your father, someone else has to be. Most people think that God is the father of everyone. However, Scripture teaches us this is not the case. Since the fall of Adam and Eve, all mankind has been born in sin, therefore alienated from God. While God is the creator of all, he is not the father of all. Only those who receive Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for their sins are reconciled to God and adopted in his family. To be part of the family of God means having your needs met. Those who have God as their father have access to him in prayer. To communicate with God is to be able to bring your request directly to his throne of grace is a privilege known only to those who have become part of his family through faith. You can take everything to God in prayer when he's your father. The Father has given us everything we need, not only to live, but to live godly lives. Question 3, how do we join the family of God? The only way to join the family of God is to have God as our Father. The only way to have God as our Father is to accept Jesus as God's Son. To be a part of the family of God means knowing and experiencing the love of God, to be able to call the only eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the universe father. This is important because to be a part of God's family means having a big brother. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing like a big brother that we can use as a role model, leader, and guide. The how is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those who have received Jesus Christ have him not only as Lord and Savior, but also as brother. Although some people don't have an earthly natural family of origin, everyone that confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart is adopted into God's family, and as a result, given eternal life. To be a part of the family of God means having an eternal inheritance. Unlike a trust fund or an inheritance some children receive from their natural parents, believers in Christ will receive an imperishable, unfading, eternal inheritance from their Father in heaven. Those who have received Christ and can therefore call God Father will inherit eternal life and a resurrected body on a new earth. Listen to these scriptures. They serve as the last will and testament from our Father. This is the will that we can use to claim our inheritance on the last day of our lives. Perhaps you want to close your eyes as I read these verses over you. 1 John 3:1 through 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but what we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Ephesians, the second chapter, the 19th verse. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Romans 12 and 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. John 1, 12 through 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We know now. Now we know how to join the family of God. We must be born of the water and of the Spirit, which means to receive the Holy Ghost and be baptized. We know what the family of God is all about. It's a brotherhood and a sisterhood that gives us fellowship, strength for the journey, and an opportunity to honor our Father by doing God good to one another. And we know why joining the family of God is essential. Because if a man is not born of the water and of the Spirit, he will not see God. As I conclude, here is perhaps the best way for me to sum up today's message. God desires to be our Father. He desires for us to have a royal inheritance that will not rust or fade like the things of this world. God desires for us to prosper and to be good in good health, even as our soul prospers. Let us pray. If you have not joined the family of God, I'm going to pray for you. I'm asking that you open your heart and let him in. If you are in the family of God and this is a difficult season for you, I want to pray for you that God's will be done in your life, but that as his will is being done, God's merciful arms of comfort will embrace you so that you know he's on the journey with you. Just like he was with Daniel in the lion's den, every step of the way. And don't forget, he was able to shut the mouth of the lion. If you are listening to this podcast and you are experiencing the blessings of God because this is a prosperous season, I want to pray for you also that God's blessings will continue to overflow in your life and that no good thing will be withheld from you. I want to pray that this time of harvest will be filled with gratitude and wisdom. God, we bring everything to you right now in prayer. Because only you can heal the sick, deliver the lost, set the captive free, and bring restoration of peace and joy. We thank you in advance. Amen.